Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. Guiding Stars is an interactive, soul-centered astrology talk show using the symbolic language of evolutionary astrology to enlighten and empower you on this journey. If you've missed any prior broadcasts, there's an archive here at Healthy Life, and those prior broadcasts are going to be recent starcasts for the month with Rose Marcus, but that archive button is right there next to the Listen Live button that you clicked on to hear this show. Also, if you have any comments or suggestions, we do want to know about it, and you can email me through my website at kristenfontana.com. Before we get started, if you're a new listener, we want you to know that there is a website for you to learn more about evolutionary astrology. The website is schoolofevolutionaryastrology.com, and within the website, there's a wonderful learning forum where you can post questions or participate in practice threads as they arise, so we welcome you there. Also, if you're interested in becoming a more serious student and would like to become certified in evolutionary astrology, you can access the correspondence course, which is a series of 27 DVDs. There are homeworks connected to that, or you can just purchase the material and have it for your own studies and exploration, self-discovery. It's worth its weight in gold and then some. It's the original course taught by the founder of EA, Jeff Green. So check out the website if you're interested. All right, I'd like to welcome Rose back to Guiding Stars. Welcome back, Rose.
Oh, thank you very much, Kristen. It's always a delight.
And anything to announce to the listeners?
Yes, I would like to announce or remind people that that we have launched the Soulwise Astrology School with Patricia Walsh and Laura Nalbandian and myself. And we are beginning in September to teach an intensive evolutionary astrology course via webinar. And our early bird registration ends on July 15. So if you are interested in some live study, then do check out our website, which is soulwiseastrologyschool.com, and you'll get all the info there.
All right.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, sure.
Yes,
all right.
While we're doing plugs, let's plug you as well, too. You're doing some things on a Zoom meeting, I understand. So.
Well, there's always lots of Zoom meetings going on. Doing a series right now looking at Chiron through the houses and signs with Ari Moshe, and a series with Simon through the houses and signs. With Saturn, excuse me, wow, that's a tongue twister, looking at Saturn through the houses and signs with Simon Forster, there you go, from Sweden. And Deva and I are looking at the fatal relationship between Jupiter and Mercury, and we've called this series Finding Your Natural Voice. So check out Zoom or on YouTube, Guiding Stars EA Zoom, to find out or to access those webinars. Right. And I also am very excited about talking about the pair of eclipses we have this next month, because I always am just fascinated by how these things operate in the world and in our life. I'm curious how this one coming up, Rose, is going to affect the U.S. in particular, being that it's 2 days before the 4th of July, the first one. But we can talk about other trends that are occurring before that, if you'd like. I'll let you start this gig.
All right, yes. Well, we do have a solar total eclipse coming up on July 2nd. And, of course, the U.S. 4th of July is going to pick up the energy of that solar eclipse. And Canada's birthday is July 1st, so solar eclipse is relevant to both countries. And it is interesting what ties the two of them together, of course, is the ongoing situation with the Huawei, I can't pronounce that right, the Huawei executive that was detained in Vancouver at the request of the U.S., and how that's playing out with the dynamics between China and Canada and the U.S. So it's interesting that that ties all of that together. I'm not sure. Huawei, do you know how to
have, I do not.
The executive that was detained here in Vancouver. So, and last night, we are pre-recording this on the 26th of June, and on the 25th of June, China slaps more penalties on Canada. They've decided now that we have tainted beef or something along that line, so they've already, been putting the squeeze on Canada for trade, and that's an ongoing thing. Trudeau was just in the U.S. talking to Trump and asking for Trump to talk, to talk to the Chinese president because they won't talk to Canada, and on it goes. So lots going on there. The solar eclipse takes place at 10 degrees of Cancer. And Cancer is an archetype that corresponds to the populace and the people and nationalism and all of that on top of the archetype itself, corresponding to everything to do with safety and security, right? You know, so we've got all of, we've got so much going on for the month. This solar eclipse, total solar eclipse. We had a total solar eclipse, which was a lunar eclipse, at the start of the year on the, I've forgotten, the 21st of January. So every year we have about four or five eclipses. That's very common. They're spaced about 6 months apart. So we had eclipses in January. Now we have a pair of eclipses in July, July 2nd and July 16. And we'll have a final eclipse, lunar eclipse, on Christmas Day. So these are our peak points. And eclipses, I think, are important. They're triggers. We've talked about eclipses over the many years that you and I have been doing these radio shows, of course. A solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse is going to be a more dynamic new moon or full moon, so it punches up the energy of that. But additionally, eclipses take place along the nodal axis, the south node and north node, which of course are very, very important features to consider through evolutionary astrology. So that's the reason why they're even more potent. So eclipses are going to bring us to peak periods, right? And just the kind of basics of an eclipse anyway is that it will be a dynamic trigger on the day of the event, but it also, as I always say, is like plucking the string of a musical instrument. It's going to reverberate and hold some magnetic resonance or hold some potency even before the event occurs. And I certainly think that this July 2nd total solar eclipse has been effective since the beginning of, or since about the middle of June. And interestingly, this is the total South, the great South American eclipse. In 2017, we had the Great American Eclipse, and that eclipse went right across the U.S., divided the country in half, went from the West Coast to the East Coast. You know, it went across there, if folks remember. That was August of 2017. And this eclipse will also, it intersects the South America. There, I'm sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me right at the moment, from like Chile through Argentina, and it's very, very interesting just to note that just a few weeks ago, right in the same region, there was this massive power outage.
Remember
that? Yeah. It's exactly in the same region that this eclipse is taking place, and that's just one demonstration of how an eclipse can trigger before the actual event. Now, that happened on Father's Day, and there were a couple of other things that were going on that day, specifically the second installment of the Jupiter-Neptune square that has been that we've been working under all year. Jupiter and Neptune have been aligned by dynamic tension since January. That day on Father's Day, I mean, there's several different things that happened. Mercury-Saturn opposition, for example, you know, so knocking out the power grid, and just preceding a full moon in Sagittarius on that day, right? You know, so there are a lot of triggers. But the eclipse on January 2nd is also picking up the nature of Jupiter. And it is picking it up via Jupiter's nodes. So we have the eclipse is taking place at 10 degrees Cancer, and the north node of Jupiter is at 10 degrees Cancer. So if you are an astrology student, as you know, typically we put the north and south nodes of the moon in the chart. But looking at the planetary nodes is going to fill in a lot more information, right? So interestingly, I think that this total solar eclipse is picking up that Jupiter flavor, you know, it's Jupiter in Cancer. And if you just see what's on the news, just last night looking at the news, there were several stories. Of course, there's the immigrant children crises. Did you hear about that? Were you paying attention to the news yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you know, that there's a holding facility in Texas, and the children have been inadequately fed, and they haven't had toothbrushes or showers for weeks, and, you know, there's not enough food. And there was a father, actually interesting, because Cancer, well, the Cancer Capricorn polarity is going to pull up the parents, but, you know, we think of mother and mothering, but there was a father and a child who died in Texas there someplace. It was on the news. It was very tragic. You know, it's just kind of bringing up all that plight, right? Here in Canada, there was an announcement yesterday about a new, the Canadian government putting $1 million towards a organization run by a high-ranking officer, and it's to educate soldiers about child soldiers and trying to combat that as well too, right? You know, there's been so many stories in the news that are reflective of exactly this eclipse, right? You know, so we're already in the throes of it. And while I'm on the many things that I have to say, a lot of talk has been going on about the grand alignments in 2020 that are lined up at about 23 degrees of Capricorn, you know, everything coming to culmination next year with a January eclipse in 2020. And what I have to say about that is, you know, Pluto has been back and forth over its own south node on this eclipse. It is 22 degrees. You know, these eclipses that are taking place in July, you know, are again triggers that are setting up the whole, you know, evolutionary clock for, you know, culminating the culminating that we are doing right now with reality base as is. It's been going on for a while, right? You know, so we've got this, again, like I said, total solar eclipse in August of 2017. We've got triggers that are on the grand alignment in Capricorn next year. The July 2nd, the July 16th eclipses are, again, yet more triggers for this, for all that we're experiencing and highlighting or featuring the sign axis of Cancer Capricorn. Cancer Capricorn, it is, again, bringing the past into the present, taking a look at all that, and looking to reformat, our understanding of the past and how we are needing to bring the elements into some kind of closure. We have so much going on right now with facing the reality and reformatting and reprioritizing what is necessary and what we need and what is necessary and what is the priority for the moment. I really think this this eclipse is getting down to the truth and gaining a greater insight into what your essential needs are for you personally. And then, of course, that's the ripple effect. It's taking place on the populist level, on the national level, on the government level, on the on all of it, how we are framing what we need to continue, and it is really taking a look at what is facing the greater need. What is your greater need? What is your greater truth? How have you been creating security for yourself in the past? And that's got to do with with your bottom lines, all of them, your material foundation, your money, but emotionally, primarily, what is it that no longer serves? And, what is it that is holding you back? Where are the fear base? What is holding you back from moving forward? What is it that you've been resisting? What is blocking you? And so forth. And on the other end of things, what is it from the past that you can take forward that is going to provide you with that security, with that nourishment, whatever it is that is going to give you the strength to go forward? So, first of all, whatever it is that you've been holding on to, is it providing the true security? Right, is it providing the true nourishment? And now, what is it that is, where is the reality right at the moment, and looking at that. A solar eclipse is a new moon, and so it begins a new cycle. And that new cycle, solar eclipses are new beginnings, and they are launched on something ending. They're more potent, bringing something to an absolute end and an absolute beginning. Corresponding with this eclipse, Saturn, the relationship of the eclipse to the North Node, it's a North Node eclipse. The North Node eclipse is 7 degrees. It's a total eclipse, so it's a very potent eclipse. It means that the eclipse is in the middle of its life lifespan, and so it's at the height of development now. And the fact that the new moon solar eclipse on this second is relative to the North Node in what we call the balsamic relationship, it is suggesting that it is a time of seeding. So it has great potency. The balsamic cycle is about bringing something to closure, completion. But it is also bringing something. It is something's on brew, whatever it is that is being seeded right now. It has greater than average potency. That seed is very dynamic, and it has the potential to grow in some kind of significant way. Saturn's relationship to the South Node has surpassed both Pluto and Saturn. It was the beginning of, May or June, when Pluto and Saturn moved into a new phase relationship. But Saturn is now retrograde. Pluto is now retrograde as well, too. But Saturn and the South Node are doing this dance between April and September. They are in a phasal relationship where we're still dealing with the past, but the Saturn-South node influence is having a bringing something up from the past and bringing some kind of new consciousness to it, a new way of perceiving it or relating to it. in order to, it's still in the throes of, I'll say that these transits are all information gathering. There's still a little bit more processing to do. There's still a little bit more information to gather here. There's still more review to be done. And as this review is happening, it's bringing up the past, but bringing up the past in some kind of new context for us to look at here, something added, something more. It's going to take us all the way through to September in terms of that review and consciousness of, continuing to confront whatever that reality is. We still have more information to put together before we get that foundation laid to utilize as a springboard for forward. I think I have more to say, but station break. So do you have anything to add to that?
Oh, I mean, I was just wanted a couple of comments. One, that we don't need to wait till the 2nd to experience these eclipses, as you mentioned. So everybody's probably feeling a lot of the energy now. And also just that I'd like to go into some of the aspects, of course, on the 2nd, because it is like a blueprint or a tattoo or a exclamation mark of sorts. It's an energy that will affect us for the next 6 months pretty directly. And with all the retrogrades going on at the same time, Uranus is direct, but all those other outer planets are retrograde, which means that they're carrying a Uranian influence. And so nothing is meant to stay the same unless it's allowing you to evolve, whatever that is. So as you mentioned, Rose, the things that are kind of reaching the roof of their limit or needing to close or come to an end, it's a time when we're experiencing great transitions. And also, if some people might, the instinct might be to resist those changes because, of course, it represents something that feels insecure. And so be careful with too much resistance, because the resistance is what can create the events that we don't necessarily want. So just to be receptive and understand that whatever you are calling in right now is meant to propel you forward. So whether it's tying up loose ends from the past, looking at them a little more closely, learning the lessons surrounding those events, etc. So more to say after the break. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KRISTIN Fontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus. We're discussing the transits for July, and particularly these wild eclipses and all these retrogrades. What do they mean for you? So another thing I was thinking about as I was writing my forecast this week, of course, and I'm kind of blown away that you already know all the eclipses in the future. You're so good about that, Rose. I can just trying to keep up with now. Christmas Day, now I got to go look at that chart. But anyway, a full moon to boot. So Mars and Uranus, or Mars and Mercury, actually, will be with both being Leo. That's going to be a big shift. Mercury has entered Leo already, but Mars is on its way, and Mercury is not moving very fast because it's slowing down to go retrograde, shift retrograde on the 8th, which will add to all this retrograde energy is going on. And so Mars and Mercury will be traveling quite closely together for the next few weeks in the sign of Leo and squaring Uranus. Fun. I mean, I honestly have not, I do not remember when I've seen so much Uranian energy, okay? The retrograde reflects Uranus. It's about, you know, some sort of revising or revolution or rebelling and a non-conforming energy. And then we've got eclipses, which are both Aquarian in nature, Uranian in nature. And now we've got Uranus, the ruler for Aquarius, squaring Mars and Mercury. I mean, honestly, all of that at once, it's just like, whoa, it's a lot. So I want to know your take on this.
Well, I don't know about you, Kristen, but me, I'm exhausted. Not enough hours in the day, I'm telling you. It is so intense. And yes, that Uranus is really kicking it up a notch. And as you said just before the break, and again, as I was indicating, that the eclipse is already active prior to, and we are pre-recording this, but from the end of June, on the 27th of June, we have this Sun Uranus sextile, and on the eclipse, we have the Moon sextile Uranus as well too. So we're engaged in the few days before. And Mercury moving into Leo, which it has done on the 26th, and Mars moving into Leo on the 1st of July. Both of those are very important transits, and I'll tell you why, is because that 0 degrees of Leo was the degree of the eclipse back in January. So again, you know, these eclipses, they're all different families. So families, you know, they start at one pole and they go to the other pole and they run through kind of a similar theme. And we can look at the Ceres series for that family of eclipses. But I look at the trigger points of when planets are going to go over the sensitive degrees of the eclipses. If you have anything at 10 cardinal, this is going to be a dynamic eclipse for you. The cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really anything between about 10 degrees and 22 degrees, you know, if you have any planets at that degree, you're going to be feeling these eclipses. But it takes whatever was on brew there, the lunar eclipse back in January. Lunar eclipses, you know, again, are times of evaluation regarding relationships, and they deal with the social dynamics as well, too. But, you know, again, we're looking at how we are relating. You know, I'm here and it's there, and it is coming to greater consciousness or greater illumination regarding what's it going to take. Lunar eclipses can bring things, again, to an end point or a culminating point. So if you were thinking back in January that I can't keep going like this anymore, you know, or that that you were feeling an urge to reinvent in some way, the eclipses of July here are a catalyst for exactly that. So we have this Mercury and Mars in Leo. You know, Leo is the archetype of the heart and center of everything, right? So these transits, you know, with Cancer, again, Cancer is an archetype of self-preservation, right? You know, it's the search for self-consistency, and it deals with the emotional journey. And that's in all in terms of, again, Cancer likes to attach itself to something and stay put with it. We have this Uranian influence that is, you know, that kind of breakthrough stuff that's taking place. I must say as well, too, in terms of the Uranian energy, those are the, first of all, these eclipses anyway are accelerators, so they move you faster along your own timelines. They move you faster along your own processes. But we have also had the Jupiter-Neptune transit, which we're still dealing with here, that triggered last month as well, too, and Jupiter relationship to the north and south nodes of Uranus. It's still keeping that. At any moment, anything could happen. At any moment, your light bulb could go on. At any moment, an opportunity could happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
This eclipse has a great opportunity and great potential. It is a new moon. So if you're looking to initiate something or launch something or start something, this new moon has really good prospects for that. The piece of that is knowing kind of reasonable limits with it. It also has a sense of bringing things to a point of excess. So, we can have excess of worry, or we can, excessive security needs or what have you, right? Excessive fears, right? We can have all of that going on. But if you have the opportunity to, all of this is stripping it right down to what really matters, right?
Yeah.
What really matters. And if you can allow yourself for just a moment to sit with yourself in terms of what is it that really matters, we get so distracted by the, by all kinds of things, by the driver that cut you off, or by the, by the person who didn't give you the respect that you needed, or whatever those pieces are, or however we get twisted up in knots within ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just sit for a minute with yourself. And let me just say that all that Capricorn energy, Capricorn's the archetype of time, right? Time,
right.
Suggesting this April through September piece of that, this is a very important period of time. And if you can utilize time as a resource, you can put it to work for you, in whatever way you can see your way through to doing, it's going to serve you very, very well. There's something about, again, we are coming to this culmination. I love what you said earlier about resistance. The more you resist, the more things can explode on you or go the way you exactly didn't want them to. So perhaps with this Cancer Capricorn energy, you could do baby steps or small steps, right? Spend a moment entertaining. What would it be like if I actually let go of this or gave this up or didn't use this as my security blanket? What if I just, allowed that to end? What would that be like? And we can do a lot with the retrogrades, Retrogrades are revisit, relive, that pulls that in. But it is really, especially with Mercury retrograde coming up as well, too, over this, just before the eclipse and after the eclipse, and the solar eclipse has some triggers, as I said, the 26th of June right through until about the 9th or 10th of, really through about the 12th of July, the eclipse has a number of triggers. Trigger on July 4th with Saturn and Saturn and the south node switch tracks, right? So they're doing this dance of reversing a little bit here, and remember that the nodes wobble, right? So there's this energy going on with that. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to make a point, and I apologize.
You're talking about the different triggers between now and the 10th, I think you said, of July or the 12th, and that on the 4th of July was the first trigger because the south node and Saturn switched tracks.
Yeah, exactly, right. So know that, I know. The Mercury and Mars in Leo, Mars will be in Leo through the middle of, through the middle of August. Mercury on the 19th of July is going to back into Leo, but back into Cancer. But these two transits, just slipping into Leo and then the eclipse hits, you know, gives an opportunity for there to be a great surge, a creative surge, right? You know, a great opportunity to kind of recenter. Along with the Uranus transit as well, too, something could go pop that makes a lot of sense to you, or that that just really gets you right in the middle of your heart, right? And so it just might be some kind of breakthrough or some kind of aha or some kind of event that kind of goes, you know, zap. And then it might take a little bit of time to get that worked out, right?
Okay. Yeah.
All
right. We got to go to a break real quick. I think I heard that back then. So let's do that and then hold that thought. Hold the pop thought. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, or it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question: why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless."
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus, discovering and we're sharing and discovering at the same time. I always discover when I'm listening to you talk new things about these energies. So it will be a month of discovery. And as you said right before the break, that, you know, events could occur and then it's going to take some time for you perhaps to kind of put the pieces together, iron it out, or figure out a way to make to move right in that direction, or to adjust things in your life perhaps to support some of the changes that may need to take place. And so one thing too that you mentioned before, you're talking about what something means to you. I mean, that definitely is a big theme under eclipse energy, because, and I just recorded an hour plus video audio on the eclipses and the retrogrades leading up to 2020 in January, that Capricorn stellium, and I labeled it as a subtitle, "What's Your Evolution Worth?" And that's really what it comes down to when push comes to shove, or the chips are down, or when you feel overly stretched. And I've shared this in prior recordings, that, you know, when you're not in your body anymore and you're looking back on this life and you're seeing yourself at an impasse, you're seeing yourself at a crossroads, you know, what are the choices that you're going to be proud of? I mean, typically the hardest choices can be the right choices can be the hardest choices. Evolution is not for sissies. Okay, it's just not. It's hard work. I have to say, I stole that from a friend of mine. She said, "Aging is not for sissies," and that's true too. But I just changed the word to evolution, because, you know, it's just not. And so, you know, just make choices, take steps that make you feel good about who you are, and know that you're not going to have to come back and do that next time again. So, yeah, what is it worth to you? you'll be finding out what anything is worth to you, what the relationship's worth to you, what your passions are worth to you, what your creative ideas are worth to you, what the music within you is worth to you. That's what you'll be finding out this month. So,
absolutely. And, you know, with all that Capricorn energy, don't expect it to be easy. Expect there to be work. You know, expect it to be pressure. Expect it to be a challenge, right? You know, and that's the thing. We always say that you have to make friends with Saturn, right? You know, make friends with Saturn. Saturn rewards you, right? You know, it's the thing of if you know that you're going to be in a tough period, well, then you better put your work clothes on.
Your work boots.
Yeah, work boots, you know, absolutely. Because, you know, and the whole thing with Capricorn, I got a lot of Capricorn in my chart, and I know this all the time, you know. When I work hard and get a good result, you know, there is nothing more satisfying, right? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can keep that kind of end result in mind when you're stressing about, you know, giving up on the things that you think keep you secure or safe, you know, maybe if you look ahead to what kind of reward would that be if you got yourself bridged over to the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Leo, by the way, you know, the Mercury in Leo and Mars in Leo, Leo is about exceptional or special or exceptional or, you know, with the Uranus piece, it's extraordinary, you know. Those are the kinds of, you know, we need to come to that kind of consciousness, you know. This is an exceptional moment in time for you to be living your life and for us to be living our lives, right? You know, for the reinvention of reality, it is really quite exceptional. So it requires extraordinary acts of courage, and it requires out-of-the-box thinking as well, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Definitely.
Absolutely. So as we're moving forward here, on the 7th of July, we have Mercury retrograde. And Mercury retrograde goes until the 31st of July, when it stations direct. And, you know, so Mercury is just in Leo for this very, at the start of the, to the start of the retrograde. And then once Mercury goes retrograde and backs into Cancer, if you can remember, you know, as these planets were developing and you were able to download some confidence or some, you know, creative vision for yourself. As the planet goes retrograde, a retrograde planet is for processing. You know, Mercury retrograde is awesome for taking time out for yourself, you know, and taking time out to devote, you know, making yourself number one, right? You know, like, you know, diving into, you know, putting your personal priorities first and so on. But what I want to say is that if somewhere along the way you are losing your confidence, try to go back there and remember what it felt like when you first got that pop and how good that felt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, and try to remember that. You know, they do that in some metaphysical healing, right? They have you kind of recreate, you know, a whole scenario when you were at your happiest or feeling your most vital, right? And and bringing in all the senses, right? You know, so
mm-hmm.
you know, if something goes pop for you that is something that's like really juicy, you know, try to really make that register very deeply so that you can recall it when you're losing your way a little bit. Okay,
that's a great one. I love that. And you know, at times when Saturn's involved, it doesn't matter what memory you have about how good something felt, you're not going to feel it. You know, I'm not going to pretend that you will, because you just won't. I know this. With the nature of Saturn, we're all experiencing Saturn, South Node, Pluto, in Capricorn, but you may have planets in Capricorn in your chart, and as Rose mentioned, if you've got a prominent cardinal signatures, you're really going to feel that push, that stretch, and that weight. But it's right, like what you said too, is that if something's worth it to you, you're going to do the work to get it done, and it's like when you cross that finish line, there's no greater feeling knowing that all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into it.
knowing that you never gave up, you know, knowing that you kept fighting hard and trusting the process, trusting in the timing, trusting in yourself ultimately. And what's exceptionally important right now, and what I do every week, Rose, I mean, if I see a whole boatload of hard trends going, I'm always searching for the way out, the way through, not to escape, but there's always something in the ethers available for you to an energy to partner with, to align yourself with, to understand the bigger picture. And in this case, we've got transiting Neptune in Pisces, trining the North Node in Cancer. So no matter what havoc might be going on in your world or whatever's happening in your journey, there is this beautiful energy that to me feels like a higher hand, a bigger picture perspective that could be presented, invisible energy that might be guiding you or protecting you. It also speaks to the need to take some time and create some space for prayer, for meditation, to be receptive and not just reactive to whatever's happening, be receptive, and so you can understand why. These are really important really points to remember, especially this Neptune transit that we have. And, you know, Neptune is in it's the sign that it naturally rules. Jupiter is in the sign that it naturally rules. Neptune and Pisces, Jupiter and Sag, both retrograde. So, you know, this is these are some powerful influences as well that are quite supportive. So we have go ahead.
I just wanted to say one thing on that Neptune North Node aspect here. It will be easier. One of the things is that it'll be easier to let go of something than the ego process of it, right? And Neptune does two things. It dissolves, so it's doing its job by dissolving and loosening that up, and you know, giving you the opportunity to let go of it. You know, what gets in the way is the ego piece and the fears and all of that. And the other thing is that the thing that you have to know about Neptune and Pisces energy is that if you will let go and dissolve and relinquish, right behind that is phenomenal potential.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Phenomenal.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can't tap that potential unless you move, you know, something out of the way first.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Jupiter saying give up something first to make room for the opportunity. You got to clear some space.
Yes.
You know, unload a few things so there's some space for something better. All right, we'll be right back after the break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KRISTIN Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, where it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question: why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless."
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we have returned. I'm here with Rose Marcus. We're fired up. We're feeling it. Are you fired up? I'm fired up. Definitely felt that Mercury shift in the Leo.
Yeah.
All right, so Cancer to Leo, very different energies. And we are doing what we can to prepare you for the next month, which ultimately is going to be preparing you for the next 6 months. So what's next?
You bet.
What did we miss?
Well, we have to talk about the lunar eclipse, partial lunar eclipse.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe we have 8 minutes to talk about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a pretty significant eclipse, too. Well, you know, eclipses go in pairs, right? So new moon, you know, full moon fruition point on that. And the lunar eclipse takes place on the 16th of July. It's 24 degrees Capricorn. And the big deal with this one is that at that time we have Venus and Saturn in opposition. And we also have, by the way, this lunar eclipse. The moon occults Saturn and Pluto, which essentially is like a an occultation. It's kind of like an eclipse in terms of blocking out the light temporarily, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's got some potency. Total eclipses, solar eclipses are more event-generating. Lunar eclipses are more the emotional journey, but, you know, I'll say that it's equally as event-generating when you, you know, in your personal life journey. Again, these eclipses are going to be potent if they are hitting your chart directly. Otherwise, you're just going to feel it as the general energy, or you'll see it reflected in what's happening around you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the solar eclipse, as I said, the relationship of the solar eclipse to the north node is balsamic, so it's seeding, and it's Cancer anyway. And then the eclipse on the eclipse on the 16th is in new phase relationship to the node. So we are moving forward by this point. We have Venus at 16, Cancer in the North Node at 17, Saturn at 16. We have this, you know, Venus-Saturn opposition. We have Mercury in Leo still retrograde. We have Mars traveling through Leo as well, too. So this Saturn and Venus opposition, of course, brings something to an end, and a lunar eclipse does bring something to culmination. Brings it to a completion point, or, you know, and so forth. Venus is in an adjustment phase to the Jupiter piece. It is forming a lovely trine to Neptune. What say you on this eclipse here?
What? Say that again?
What say you on the eclipse?
On the full moon, yes. Full moon eclipse, and it's not a total, it's a partial, but it is in Capricorn. Of course, these themes are restated, and essentially what I feel about this one is, you know, anything that, again, this is going to address the things in your life that you might have been just old memories repressed, or wherever that resistance sits in your life, you're going to be forced to deal with it. So, because it's just bringing everything out and up, or up and out, I should say, and out onto the table for you to look at and deal with. And like you said, you know, what is the most important thing to me right now? Like, what is worth my time? What is worth my commitment? And it is about taking your life more seriously, taking your journey more seriously, and taking responsibility also for the life that you've created. All souls will create whatever they need to evolve. And so these eclipses are going to let you know where something's run its course potentially. You know, we do have Venus on the North Node, which I love. It's like, again, a little bit of an opening there for something, you know, a promise for some, it's at least a symbolic promise for something that will, that could occur to allow things to be more balanced in your life. This is a time when, if relationships are out of balance, when they're absolutely not going to be, the dynamics will not be brushed under the rug anymore. They'll be discussed. They'll be talked about. They'll need to be under these energies. And so, like, you know, there's going to be a lack of tolerance for the things that you might have been allowing to linger for a long time. So that's
exactly what I was going to say. You know, by the time we get to here, what's past due is really past due, right? You know, so
mm-hmm.
So it will give you that kind of recognition that I stayed too long at the fair here. You know,
yeah.
It's been way too long. And that Venus on that north node really gives that opportunity to feel your way along in some way that is more real and that has more effectiveness for you. So, you know, this transit is, again, you know, if you're thinking about things coming to here, you know, the plan is to finish it off by this point, right? I always say this, like, with, you know, people want to quit smoking or something. I always say give yourself 3 deadlines, you know, but because you're going to miss the first 2, of course. But by the 3rd one, you say, okay, I'm going to actually do this, right? You know?
Right.
So if you're looking at that eclipse, if something is, all right, well, I'm not quite done with it yet, you might want to look at this eclipse and say, well, you know, I'm really going to put the attention towards finishing. You put the attention towards finishing, you surely will start to launch yourself. And the thing with this eclipse as well, too, is Mercury's in retrograde, right? It's at 1 degrees on that eclipse. And just a couple of days later, let's just see, it'll be like the 18th. On the 18th is the exact trine of Venus-Neptune. On the 18th, Mercury retrograde is at 0 degrees Leo, which is, again, the degrees of that eclipse back in January. So, again, it's a trigger point, right? On the 19th, Mercury will back into Cancer. And, again, that's about those essential needs and so forth. But I wanted to make mention that when Mercury goes direct, it goes direct on the 31st of July. By the way, that is a new moon in Leo.
It's what degree is that?
The new moon in Leo is 8 Leo. on the eclipse on July 16, Mars is at 9, so Mars will have just gone over there, but that's a super new moon. The deal with Mercury is that Mercury is going to station direct pretty much the degree. It's like 2358, and this eclipse is 2404. So Mercury goes all the way back to trigger this eclipse at the end of July, beginning of August. And we're not, this eclipse, lunar eclipses are good for about a 5 to 6 week pattern in terms of their intensity peak. Mercury's going to take that, and Mars does too, right through the middle of August. Right, so know that there's, it's really, it's going to be a kicker month, I think.
Oh, it's not funny, actually.
Yeah.
But it could, you know, it's could be very exciting.
Well,
it's thrilling.
You know, I think that we're all tired of doing it the way we're doing it. It's going to be meeting your desire. If you want to be done with something, these stars are full of promise. You know, these eclipses are full of promise.
Well, that is for sure. Well, we're going to meet again on the 25th to talk about what's going on in August. So we'll have some short stories to share, I'm sure, and then we can remind people of the new moon, the end of the month, Mercury moving direct, etc. Jupiter will be moving direct in August, and Uranus will maybe be moving retrograde. Wow, there's just a lot of changing of the guard. So anyway, I wish you all a wonderful July, and Rose, I look forward to connecting with you next month. And I wish you well on your end up in Canada.
And same right back to you, dear.
All right. Until next time, namaste.